Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Cycle it basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big long-winded speech to all passage up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bicino. I'm with me on the air is Jason King. Jason, how you doing today, man?
Oh, pretty good, man. Shades of the old, shades of the new, man. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it, yeah. So today's topic should be excellent as soon as Mr. Dredd decides to dial in here. I'm really actually kind of interested to hear what he has to say. And
me too, especially since we got in the chat room. We got Orgasmic Karmatic saying... who's the guest? Just a random person. And she knows Dan. So it should be interesting. Who is Dan Dredd besides just some random person? That's what this show's really about, I think. Because this guy's a mover and shaker, and I want to put him on the platform. We want to put him on the platform, right?
Absolutely. Even though I don't agree with absolutely everything he says, I can say one thing. He carries a serious hammer with him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad he hadn't been swinging in my direction, to be honest with you. That would be pretty cool, though, wouldn't it? If you think about it for a second.
Yeah.
Well, there's
yeah,
still
I'd like
time,
to
right?
Doing it today. Yeah.
Hey, there's Naga, right. Man. What's up, Naga? What's up, Dan Dredd, man?
I don't know, man. I'm watching the switchboard like a hawk, dude, and I'm not seeing him
I
up
bet
on
you know
here.
What I bet it is. I think he's using one of those, like, uber-cheap methods of calling in. Like, it's got to be Skype. So, like, all right, let's set the headphones up. Let's do all that nonsense. No, I'm just kidding.
Speak of the devil. Here he is. Dan,
I knew if
doing?
I called him out.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, bro?
Not too much, man. Got some snow on the ground today. It's fucking cold out.
Well, you're
so
Canadian.
One of those
you
kind
actually
of,
get the right to say that.
I was going to say, this is one of those the floor is yours type things, dude. So,
yeah.
Orgasmic Karmatic asked, who are you? I know
who
you are. Dude, don't take my lunch money, please. Whatever you do. Thanks. Floor
it's
is yours,
right,
man.
I packed a lunch. So, where to start? Auto-diabolic method is it's an approach that I've devised. It's what I've been doing all along. It's just the title that I've given to, you know, my particular take on Satanism and how to do it. I don't really know where to start. And there's so much material.
Okay,
how about start with the word
itself?
How is it different from Satanism in general?
Well,
obviously, this is your contribution to the current.
Auto-diabolic method is it's a means to an end. The goal is to free oneself from, you know, the mental chains and ideas imposed by society. The levels that they run on is manifold. We have religion, we have society, you know, MTV culture, we have, you know, nationalism, all these different things that are sort of pushing us to behave in a certain way that, you know, causes us to behave, like in a certain way, like, how to put this, you know, the people at the top sort of want the society to, you know, function in a certain manner, and, the auto-diabolic method is standing in opposition to that, manifesting as the adversary, questioning all ideas that are presented to you in a way that causes you to, you know, possibly identify them as you know, not beneficial, and being able to free your mind in such a way that you know, that will
So you're basically trying to help people break the shackles of normalcy or idiocy or retardedness, just the general human malaise that is there. I mean, I consider myself to be a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Somebody that hates people. What's it called again?
Misanthropic.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So I consider myself to be mildly in that vein. So I think what you're trying to say is I'd rather be more people like me, in other words. Or you know, like, not just you, you know, it don't have to be exactly like you, but you want people to maybe wake up and smell the coffee a little bit, is what you're saying.
Well, it's not really so much that I want other people to behave in a certain way, because I think that people in general behave the way they do for many reasons. There's people like the matrix of, you know, the control matrix that's imposed from the outside, whether it be, you know, the authority, you know, from religion or from government or all the things that we're expected to do. It provides a nice cozy blanket. And for most people, you know, having that removed would be detrimental. And you know, most of these things that cause us to behave the way we do are, you know, hidden from conscious awareness. You know, most of what we are is subconscious. Our conscious awareness is only a small part of our personality. And that's where I got the concept of autotheism, which is something I devised or realized, I suppose, many years ago, where the consciousness is a small part of what we are, and the subconscious mind is basically what's you know, guiding our actions, all these things, all our preferences, all our these things that were put into us, you know, all throughout our life that are maybe not available to our conscious mind, but are still driving our behaviors and behavior patterns.
So you think, in other words, that's the problem to be solved by an approach? Is that what you're saying?
No, more what I'm saying is that if one has the will to do so, by applying the auto-diabolic method, you can, you know, manifest as the adversary, the countercurrent to all these things that society is driving us to, you know, do and be and, you know, live a certain type of life, you know, view all these things as good and other things as bad, you know, the dichotomies that are presented to us. Being able to question those things and really have a hard look at them, and further to root them out, which is harder than just thinking about them and realizing, like, oh well, you know, this, there's nothing behind this. Maybe I should not believe that anymore. It's harder than that. It involves a lot of personal work and a lot of introspection, and it's a constant process.
No, I get that, but are you talking about yourself? Or are you talking about people that are like what we might call plebeians, or, you know, people that are beneath us? Do you care about them at all? Do you want them to move forward? Or is your, what you're saying is that's directed at somebody that's already, for example, an adept, or somebody that's already moving in the current, understands the current a little bit? I mean, yes. What I'm trying to get at is, who is the target audience? The auto-diabolic method is obviously targeted to some kind of an audience. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a method. So who is that targeted towards?
It's targeted at people that that resonate with it, you know, Satanists, people that are already on the path. I think that the majority of people, the plebeians, the sheep, if you will, are doing what they're going to be doing. There's always going to be slave religions. People want that. They crave it, and it's not for them. It's for the people that that see the bullshit for what it is and want a way of breaking free of it, rather than you know, being in accordance with it.
Okay, I get you. You're talking to a select audience then. So
yes.
Satanists are already, you know, kind of there a little bit. So what does your auto-diabolic method help the average Joe Satanist accomplish that he would, you know, not normally accomplish? Or how is it a better clarification of Satanism? Or what makes it different, in other words? How, like, again, getting back to that very first question that Orgasmic Karmatic asked, who are you? Are you just some random guy, or do you have something like... put it out there, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I find that even amongst the satanic community, there are right-hand path values that are overriding and overreaching. you know, pretty much throughout almost everybody. You know, things like it's wrong to do X, it's wrong to do Y because of X and because of Y, but really there's nothing behind any of that. Like say you can say it's wrong to kill, murder is wrong, or it's wrong to be hypocritical, or it's whereas really these are just externally imposed ideas that they're not wrong or they're not right. They're just ways of behaving that can either be useful or not useful depending on context.
Well, that's true, but generally they
to highlight right there. And what you just said about it being behavior that can either be beneficial or not beneficial, I just wanted to point that out because I think that's a very important point within what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would say. So, I guess how I arrived at it, throughout the years, I've been online doing this for a really long time, about 16 years. I've been online, you know, observing the currents of what's going on. Before that, I considered myself a Satanist before there was an internet, and I just assumed that everyone sort of understood it the way that I did. And then I come online and I see all these people doing Satanism in very different ways. And I was exposed to the Church of Satan and under Gilmore and got my eyes opened as to, you know, the drastic differences in what they were doing in, you know, compared to what Anton LaVey or what I thought Anton LaVey was saying. So for years I kind of assumed that, you know, there's a Satanist type and then everyone else was kind of doing something else, like type S personality. People that, you know, manifest the black flame, people that get it. And, recently I've realized with the influx of all these serious Satanists, such as yourself, Jason, and many others, that are taking it to a new level, actually doing something with it. I come to realize that maybe I should, try to put my personal views into words rather than just manifest them in life. Maybe someone would take some value from that.
That's awesome, because like if we get a bunch of hats, like if everybody throws their hat in, then we can have a bunch of hats and we can build like a clubhouse out of it. And I think that would be really cool. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's awesome. I totally dig what you're saying. So you're looking at, again, what is... pardon me for being retarded here. I'm sorry. The auto-diabolic method. What exactly is that? What do you? I mean, how the words "auto" and "diabolic" mean self, diabolism, or diabolos would be the devil, and it wouldn't be like Satan would be the adversary or something like that. But you're talking about taking the adversary into yourself. Is that's what I gather from you so far? It's like you get that reactionary vibe or whatever of question all things, challenge all things, etc., and then you go out and you confront the world with that. So how does that make a difference on the big scale, or should it? Because, I mean, I don't necessarily know that I think it should.
Well,
we're just talking
really,
about something personal.
It's not really so much about making a difference on the big scale. It's making a difference on the small scale, in the subjective universe. It's about sculpting your own subjective universe to the place where you want it, to free yourself from those chains that bind you into certain, you know, philosophical positions or ways of behaving. That those things that are deeply rooted within you, that are, you know, beyond what you consciously are aware of, and digging those things out of you and, you know, scrutinizing them and constantly, it's a lot of self-talk, a lot of self-argumentation, taking the opposite side of others.
Let me pose this to you, though. I'm sorry to cut you off, but let me pose this to you. If they're beyond your conscious awareness, then how can you become conscious of them in order to direct change upon them, which is what you're talking about. You're saying like a lot of introspection, a lot of stuff like that. That's all conscious, directed behavior. And you're talking about the subconscious, you know what I mean, which would be something that would not be observable by the conscious mind. So how can one direct behavior upon that?
That is a very good question. And that the way that you arrive at these things that are buried is to dig, mentally dig, question, think. Always be the adversary, even in your own mind, be the adversary to your own ideas. If you believe something, question it, think about it, try to come up with counterpositions. And this is a constant thing. And it sounds like a simple thing, but it's really something that not a lot of people actually do. Or
you're basically
talking
about like a Mozart, like a blind sculptor, like somebody that can't see the thing they're working with because, again, you're saying it's subconscious, but that has hands on it somehow, like is touching it ever so remotely and then sculpting it blindly in a way, but still being able to produce like a Mozart, a blind composer, somebody that was, you know, could see beyond. Is that kind of what you're saying?
In a way, but it's more about bringing those things that you cannot, that you're not aware of, into your conscious awareness and then dealing with them there.
Well, and, how do you do that, though, is what I'm saying. How do you transition the one into the other?
Well, it's like I say, it's a constant process. Just questioning your ideas, especially faith-based values, right? Things that don't have anything behind them. Question ideas, and then question the premises behind those ideas, and question the premises behind those ideas, and see where it leads. See if there's a rock, like a bedrock.
It actually leads, believe it or not, to nihilism.
Or if there isn't. Well, nihilism, that's a good point. And I guess I could be described as a nihilist in a way. I don't think there's any ultimate meaning to the universe. But in a way, I'm not, though, because I think that people sculpt their own meaning, and I think that meaning is just as valid as any objective meaning could ever be. Any meaning
but what if
that
you have
I
two people that have two different subjective meanings? Does either one of those have any kind of preference over the other? Or are they just as meaningful only, but only to the individual? In which case, if something is meaningful only to the individual, what real value does it have? I mean, I realize that's kind of circular, but that's essentially what the objectivist or, you know, even dare say the Christian would be arguing here, is for something like an objective set of something that we can all call beautiful. Like if you and I listen to a piece of music, it might not be our favorite, but we could at least in it recognize some kind of beauty or something that transcended not just, you know, any self, but ourself personally.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there really is no objective meaning. There's subjective meaning that people can agree on. That's the closest thing that we have. And where I'm coming from, I don't really think that it matters if anyone else agrees with what I value, because I will still value it the same regardless. It's a very individual thing. It's very centered on the individual. What other people are doing is very secondary and quite irrelevant. Like, if I believe X and you believe Y, and I have, you know, reasons for believing X that I find sound, and I find your reasons for believing Y to be questionable, it really doesn't matter to me why you believe Y, because I'm sound in my belief in X, if that makes any sense.
Now, actually, that did make sense up until that very last thing that you said, which, to me, again, I mean, your position, as you said, was to be, kind of be an adversary to thought, an adversary to concepts and ideas.
Yes.
In which case, you should always be acting in that regard towards yourself and towards your own ideas, because, again, your own ideas are always going to be, according to your model, they're always going to be these conscious kind of overlays over top of this subconscious, like, field that you're just trying to, you know, reach and grasp blindly, right? So you should always have that same attitude towards your own ideas, even more
yes.
so, right? Because your own ideas are the ones that have been the best tested to
yes.
you, right? So...
Yeah, even even things that you see as axiomatic should always be tested and questioned. But if something is operating on a level where it's effective for you, you know, go ahead and use that. But that doesn't mean that it's authoritative. There will always be something that might supersede that. So it's always best to keep an open mind and keep questioning it and keep looking at it for, you know, with different perspectives. And when you gain new data, to look at it with that and filter it through that. The objective really is to, you know, get to undefiled wisdom, to free yourself of all these erroneous beliefs that that most people carry around in spades, and try to get as close as you can to, you know, undefiled wisdom. To
yeah, but if there's no ultimate
bedrock.
Authority for belief, then who determines what these false beliefs are?
Ah,
it seems like you want your cake and you want to eat it too. In other words,
yes, I do. I like cake.
That's always the best way to do it, in my opinion. But, you know, elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, how do you counter that objection, which is relatively simple, but at the same time, it's seemingly devastating to such a, you know, a pure subjectivist position. If there is no objectivity, then any statement that you make, well, you're basically saying it's only good for you. And so here's what I'm doing, and it's cool with me. And if anybody likes it, that's cool with them too. And
No.
Or I'll just be cool in the commune or something like that.
No. You misunderstand me. It's not that there's no objective universe. There is. We all live in the objective universe. We can only experience it through subjective means.
Of course.
But you can move towards objective truth in context, contextual truth, truth about things.
What's the context though? I mean, you're saying that basically you can judge something against something else. Well, that something else then has to be ground in stone.
I think that there is an objective universe, and obviously we're living in it. We all experience it in a similar manner, but to really get at it involves a lot of work because a lot of us see the world in ways that are influenced by faith-based beliefs, things that they're told that they've never really examined, and it taints their view of the world. Whereas if you can really examine everything, every belief, every axiom, and try to move towards that objective truth in context. Like, there's no truth with a big T. There's only truth in little T's in regards to certain things.
I get that, but when you use the word context, what are you talking about? You're talking about judging it against something else that is more sure. That's roughly what you mean by context, right? Or like it would be a visual contrast, like judging it against a background of something that we know to be true. Like if you and I both go outside one day and say, okay, yes, the sun is yellow. Okay, we both agree on that. That becomes a context of our conversation at that point. So what is the larger context, the context that everybody shares? Is there such a thing as a context that everybody shares? Or?
Well, we're all material beings. We all live on the earth. We all, are generally biologically similar. We all behave according to the way that we've evolved on this planet, with a few exceptions. People, act generally the same. They're motivated by the same things. We're pretty much clones of each other with genetic variations, but there's a lot to be learned from that.
Okay.
Awesome. If that answers your question.
No, it does. I mean, I think I might come across as like I'm cross-examining you or like I'm being adversarial to you. That's on purpose, obviously.
I wouldn't have it any other way, Jason.
Exactly. I knew that. That's why I'm going at it this way, is because that's the best way to, like you're saying, contrast. Put things up against the background that you can judge it against or what have you. So, BC, no?
I'm just sitting here and I'm wondering, Dan Dredd, are you sure you haven't read any Gurdjieff or Ouspensky?
No, I never have. I've been exposed to
a lot of the things that you're talking about are things that are discussed and described in the process that they call self-remembering and self-observing. It's written in a very cryptic manner, but upon reading it, you can actually come out with it. Now, the rest of it, I'm unsure, really, though, how any of it is any different than ideas that I think have been present within the satanic current since. Well, at least me coming into it, so that would be sometime in like 94, something like that.
Well, it's not so much anything new. It's that Satanism has diversified to a point where when you say the word Satanism, it can mean a wide variety of things. I kind of consider myself old school. I'm kind of bringing it back to where it was or where I perceived that it was. And auto-diabolic method is just my way of saying, describing a certain element of actually progressing and doing Satanism as a verb. I think, Satanist is a noun, but Satanism is a verb. It's something that you do. And this is just my way of doing it, by constantly attacking and questioning ideas and, discarding the ones that don't hold water and, holding on to the ones that do.
So let me get this right. In your mind, Satanism is an esoteric quest for self-understanding.
Well, I don't know if I'd put it in those exact words, but the spirit, sure.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out the ins and outs of this. I mean, I like the line of questioning that Jason was coming at, but there are a few things that just seemed unclear to me still.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Any questions you might have? Definitely ask them.
Now, I'm also kind of curious as to, what pitfalls you see in general Satanism that, obviously those would be what have been the driving force or the catalyst for you to develop this auto-diabolic method. Otherwise, there would be no reason to reinvent the wheel, correct?
Yes, that is correct. There's a phenomenon that is very prevalent on the internet especially that I like to describe as cotton candy Satanism. Now, cotton candy Satanism, I call it cotton candy because it's light, it's fluffy, and it's devoid of substance. And it's being furthered, and it's really grown and taken off to a level that's left what I consider to be actual Satanism in the dust. People are, you know, afraid to question others' ideas. They accept others' ideas at face value, and they say, well, you know, nobody's wrong, everybody's right, this can be Satanism, that can be Satanism. I don't agree with that. I think that Satanism means something. I think it's a specific path. And that's where I'm trying to bring it back to. Yeah, I think it's a specific path that can be done, and, you know, my way is not the only way of doing it, but it's definitely a way, and it's the way that I've been doing it, you know, for 20 years. So,
right, you know, but obviously you feel your way is prevailing over some of the other ways that are out there. So, I mean, I guess this is what we're really trying to get at here is where the actual contrast is happening within its context.
Sorry, can you say that one again? I missed that question.
I was just stating that I guess the whole point of what both myself and Jason King were getting at is what the actual contrast of this is, and to some extent, it this seems like the contrast is it's more of a throwback style of Satanism.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I perceive, you know, Satanism in large, as it is now, as being rather whitewashed. You know, if you were to question, like, core ideals that comprise what is seen as being good and right, and you find a lot of those to be failing, you will end up in places where, you know, in a place where a lot of people will see you to be evil. Like, if I reject ideas like, you know, murder is wrong, or that, you know, violence is wrong, or that conflict is wrong, a lot of people will see that as evil, and it's, you know, Satanism, in a way, it belongs in the dark. There should be no, you know, overriding drive to keep it, you know, socially acceptable. Or, you know, as society's house nigger, you know, trying to keep itself in a place where everyone will accept it, and you know, it won't offend anybody. And I think that at its core, Satanism can be very offensive, because when you question people's ideas and you further destroy people's ideas, people get very upset and offended, and people don't want to think outside of the box.
Well, interesting.
You know, I'm vibing with, like, almost everything you're saying, but then every now and then you say something that just doesn't quite fit with the rest of what you're saying. Like, for example, the way I interpret you, the way I read you, what I read you to be saying is essentially Satanism is about, like, basically honing, this is why I love your piece, The Fire, or The Flame, or it was The Fire or The Flame, I forget which one.
The Fire, yeah.
All right. Yeah, exactly. I even made it a sticky on the forum. It's because that, to me, sums you up, and it sums, to me, Satanism up almost to a degree. And what you're talking about is like that personal alchemy, that alchemy of transforming the self, and that's really all you're really talking about. So objective statements and things about the world at large only matter insofar as they matter to that individual on that path. Do
sure,
I read you somewhat right on that?
Yeah, I could agree with that. I don't really see where there's any conflict. Perhaps it's just a misunderstanding. I don't know, what exactly do you find conflicting?
No, I'm saying that, did I say that I was conflicting with you? No, I was saying that the conflict is within the self-transformation, the self-alchemy, the becoming a better person. It's like you're, the fire is about the self. The fire is about putting oneself in the fire, putting one's own ideas in the fire.
Exactly.
And thereby becoming greater.
Yes.
Molding
yes.
the self, and then, see, now this is where I screw up, though, is that you every now and then go back to, like, the other people, the people that shouldn't matter worth a hill of beans.
Well,
and you start saying things like, well, you know, maybe they'll wake up, or, you know, you'll slide it in there somehow in your comments. And I just don't get that.
I hear what you're saying. Like, if it's about me, why do I care what other people think or what other people are doing? And in a way, I don't. But in a way, I do, because more people that are manifesting on a level that that jives with what I'm doing gives me a greater pool of resources through which to, you know, improve upon what I'm doing. That's the whole reason that I'm here and that I frequent places like this. It's, you know, putting your own ideas through the fire inside your mind is definitely a big part of it. But exposing them to other people's ideas where they can attack them or, you know, scrutinize them from angles that you might not have thought of yourself can provide you a lot of perspective, and it certainly has.
Actually, I totally agree. That's why I always seek out the strongest opposition that I can. That's the entire reason I joined the 600 Club. By the way, my whatever was approved, so I can get on there now. I just got to make my icon, because I can't get on there unless I have my icon. I'm a black light flowing and all that kind of bullshit. But
I look forward to that.
The point is, the whole reason I joined that, not only because you and some others, you know, of note are there, but also because Michael Aquino is there. And I really do have some things, some philosophical things, just some general things about his paradigm that I want to confront him on. And I'm not going to do it disrespectfully at first. I mean, if you know me by now, you know that, yeah, I do disrespect the fuck out of people at times. But it's all based on the level that I perceive in you. So if I think you're smart or, you know, you got something to fucking say, I'm not going to come at you like that. But if I think you're a fucking moron and that's how you got to be dealt, then that's the way I deal you. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, because I've been doing that exact same thing for many, many years, man. I think that's why I like you. I've been manifesting that way on the web for at least, I don't know, 15 years, man. That's what I've been doing. So
the people that I like the most are the people like yourself that I can cross swords with and have fun with it and be like, you know, that guy actually tested me. It was like, it's not like these other motherfuckers where it was just like me swiping my sword and cutting heads off left, right, and center. But this guy actually, you know, put me on the button. You know what I mean? Made me think about something for a second. Made me pause before I answered the question. You know what I mean? So, yeah,
yes,
I get exactly where you're coming from. It's pretty cool and stuff like that. Yeah, we're always going to disagree on some shit. But, see, this is where I play Venger Satanus on the show and be all conciliatory. When Beast was getting ready to fucking, like, chop your head off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Joe, Beast. Beast, wake up.
I'm here, dude, man. I'm chucking at you, chicken wing.
I'm fucking with y'all both big time. So we're at the halfway mark, man. I think we should take some fucking calls, man.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think
idea.
Some of these people in the chat, that people that I see all the time, all over the place, like it's everybody back and forth. Michael Joaquin, Naga, obviously. Well, don't let him on because he'll chew the mic up like ain't nobody's business. Wicked Pup, dude. I mean, some of these people need to call in. I don't see her on there right now, but Orgasmic Karmatic. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's somebody, there, man.
Somebody call in and be a man or woman or whatever it takes, you know what I mean? Confront Dan Dredd, man. Put him to the question like he wants you to.
Yes, I do.
He wants
I want
you
nothing
to.
More.
He wants you to.
Bring it
on.
That's what I want.
I ain't begging, man. This is going to get pathetic if I have to sit here and like keep calling these people out, because then I'm going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's going to be like, you're going to want to shut me up by calling in. Is basically what's going to happen here. You know what I mean? No, but anyway, Dan, so like, what's the last good movie you saw? What's the last, like, five-star movie you saw? Something really awesome. To the satanic audience that might want to hear your thoughts on some like, The Arts or some shit like that.
You know what? I don't watch a lot of movies. The last movie I saw, I can't even think of it. Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Right, you just, like, took the wind out of my sails there big time, dude. Last good book you read. How about that? Does that work?
I guess.
Until we get one of these pansies to call in, because I'm really starting to get tired of these pansies. Hold on, I'm going to start calling them out. Michael Joaquin can't stop typing, but yet he can't seem to call in. What could pop you too, buddy? What's up with both of y'all? Orgasmic. I am connected to Skype. Okay, dude, check out the, whatchamacallit.
I'm on, man. She ain't shown up yet, man.
But oh, he's calling you a liar. Now. You better call in, man. He's calling you a liar, dude. No, anyway, I mean, this can't be a stand-up, dude. Somebody else talk. Fuck it. Dude, y'all
go
stop,
get 13.
Man.
Go get 13, man.
Leave me alone, man. This is like 23. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, what I actually think is great about Dan Dredd is in the Sin International chat room, he is like is it Molson? Molson beer? He's like a fucking rolling advertisement for it.
Yeah, Molson Canadian, sometimes I'll drink that stuff. But
that's like Budweiser for Canadians and shit, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could say that. But I don't feel like I've covered all the bases of what it is I'm talking about. I feel like there's some holes, and that they should be filled in. Like, for instance, the atheism-theism divide. You know, you have your atheistic Satanists and you have your theistic Satanists, and I think that's archaic and should be lost. Like, I don't really think that it's really meaningful in any given way. Like, atheism is defining yourself in relation to one specific thing that you don't believe, so I don't find that useful. I think that there's a third side, and that's where autotheism comes in, where the nature of that belief, or the propensity to believe that, is it's a psychological construct. It's something that's in us, that's either put there by society or has been evolved throughout, the last 10,000 years as maybe a reaction to our sense of, oncoming death, the fact that the awareness of our mortality. And that's what I think the God is. I made a post about that, like the actual manifestation of divinity is something in our heads, in our subconscious minds. And that's, where ritual really comes in, ritualizing, is communicating with your subconscious mind, and that also relates to the autodiabolic method, which is being the adversary to your own subconscious mind and trying to root out those things that that are in there that you don't want there.
All right, real quick, let me interrupt you. We actually, Nagas Shiva is now on the line as well, so I'll light him up.
Yeah, bring him on.
All right. If I can get this to work here. Hang on. There we go. Naga, are you there?
Namaste.
Namaste, bro.
Afternoon, Naga.
I'm interrupted when I'm calling in via Skype, so I can't tell what occurred during the period of the show. I have a number of things I've been either asking in the chat or have written down here as questions in order to understand the autodiabolic method more completely, and so I
Excellent.
Can contribute those. The first thing that occurred to me was, are there limitations of those who may employ the autodiabolic method, and are there limitations to which it might be used or to what it might lead?
No, that's the thing. It can lead to a very dark place. It all depends on the individual pursuing it. If you take it too seriously, seriously enough, you can end up in a place where others might view you as being a very dark or dangerous individual. When you lead away from the constructs of society, you can go somewhere that's much darker and more dangerous.
And are there any differences between autotheism and autodiabolism, or autodiabolic method?
Yes, another very good question. Autodiabolism is a method of achieving autotheism. Autotheism is becoming your own god, manifesting your own subconscious desires in the real world. And autodiabolism is a method of sculpting, through those ideas to achieve that. It's a process. Autotheism is the thing, whereas autodiabolism is the opposite. It's the method of getting to the thing. It's the tool to arrive at that, to get to where it is you want to be, or maybe not where you wanted to be originally, but where the journey is it's long and arduous, and you knowledge can take you sometimes to places that you don't expect.
Are there other methods that you consider to be legitimate in an application in Satanism as compared to autodiabolism?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really see that there's a lot of people that actually do Satanism. There's a lot of people that will claim the title and then, you know, sit on the literature offered by Anton LaVey and not really expand on it or think about it that much and just sort of live their life according to that. And that's fine, too. You know, I have no problem with that. But, the more I hear about the fourth way, it sounds kind of interesting. It's an actual way of doing something with Satanism. But it really seems like that area is lacking.
Which area do you mean? I wasn't sure.
The area of actually doing it as opposed to just living it. Like, an actual formula or way of, you know, actually going about doing Satanism, improving yourself, becoming more than what you are, rather than just sitting on your laurels and, you know, saying, I'm a Satanist, this is what I am, and not really moving from there.
Okay, real quick, I've got Dark Fool on the line as well, so I'm going to light him up. Fool, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Jan, quick question. My one question was, are there other methods that can be applied alongside with the diabolic method, or can they all kind of be seen as one, for example, the Socratic method?
Sure, I mean... I don't see any reason why not. The auto-diabolic method is basically just, you know, attacking your and others' views to the point where the ones that, you know, are weak will fail and the ones that are strong will stand. And that's definitely compatible with, you know, other forms of thought. It's not a system unto itself. It's just a way of doing something in specific, a tool.
Do you have any other methods that you would recommend?
No, not really. I mean, like I say, I've heard good things about the fourth way, but I don't really know enough about it. But I know that there's people that I respect that are using it and have nothing but good things to say about it. Other than that, there's not really a... Like I say, in the left-hand path, there's not really many ways of actually going about accomplishing anything. It seems like that area, in general, has been sorely lacking.
How do you see the left-hand path as relating to Satanism?
I see them as synonymous, you know. My particular definition of the left-hand path is an internal manifestation of divinity or authority, rather than externally imposed. I see that externally imposed ideas and ideas of divinity and such are the epitome of the right-hand path, and inverting that paradigm to the point where you are the authority. Which is easy to say, not so easy to do. That is the epitome of the left-hand path and Satanism. I think they're the same thing. I don't think there are other forms of left-hand path.
If I could interject just for a really quick second, if you actually believe that and believe that to be completely and utterly true, then even what might be nominally called the right-hand path would also be left-hand path, because everything is determined by the self. Once you understand that everything is determined by the self, then everything is determined by the self.
Yes.
Hence, you would theoretically be collapsing the right-hand path distinction and the dichotomy and saying that it's actually just a false projection of what is naturally left-hand path in every case.
Yes, that's a very solid point, Jason. It's something that I've thought about myself. It's all, everything in your mind is it's all put there by yourself. It's just a matter of whether or not you will accept other ideas as authoritative or whether you'll put yourself in that position of authority. You know, the right-hand path and all those ideas that are externally introduced still have to be, internally accepted. It's just a matter of where you believe the authority to be, whether you believe that, you know, God is the ultimate arbiter, or if you believe that government is the ultimate arbiter, or do you believe that you are and that you have the power to change it and, decide for yourself what is right and what is good. And like I say...
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that in all those cases, I'm sorry to cut you off, but in all those cases, it is ultimately the person. If you understand this, then it is the person, and they can hypostatize themselves as God or the state or what have you, but it ultimately boils down to the person. They are creating that thing. If you believe this, is what I'm saying. I believe it. I mean, I believe these things are mental projections, but at the same time, if you believe that, then they're mental projections for them also, which means that
the creativity in those ideas or their ability to influence affairs one way or the other becomes centered on their self. And so what I'm saying is that, metaphysically speaking, what you're saying is that there is, the right-hand path is an illusion. It has no real, you know, reality. You know what I'm saying? Because there could be no thing other than the self with which to actually merge or actually divest oneself into. It's all an illusion created by the self, which means that it is just a hypothesis of the self.
Yeah, you've nailed it. That's it. There is no, I mean, nobody's doing anybody's thinking for them. All they're really doing is introducing these ideas for people to accept or not accept, and most people will accept them. And it's not even a purely conscious level, like I was saying before. A lot of these things will that you're taught as a child or as a young adult or things that you have learned and then, you know, consequently forgot about, they're still in your subconscious mind. All these, the chains, the influences, the current that's pushing us to be a certain way and act a certain way, the things that those in power want, you know, those at the upper strata want, you know, those at the lower strata to be, you know, to be manageable, to, be, you know, to keep society rolling in a way that is beneficial to those that have the power rather than those that don't. Autodiabolic method is about taking the power back, rejecting those things that are given to you and deciding for yourself what is right, what is good, what is, you know, what things mean, what's behind these ideas that we're just expected to just accept and swallow without questioning.
Yeah, that separates it from the right-hand path in which one just accepts what it is that one's given or regurgitates what's provided to by one's outside authorities.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Hey, but Naga, what I'm saying is, once you understand that, there is no actual outside authority. You know, I mean, like, for example, let's say I looked at you as guru. Let's say I called you guru. My calling you guru would be entirely within myself. That would be a power that I had given. It was my own power, and I had given it to you to bestow on me. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying, Jason. Perception is everything.
I was talking to Naga specifically, but I'm glad you get it. You know what I mean? But
no, I do too, but I think Dan's answering fine. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Perception is everything, whether you perceive yourself as the ultimate authority, or whether you perceive, you know, the deity as, or the government as, or whatever. Whether you want to, whether you think it's legitimate to submit yourself to something else and just, you know, relegate yourself to being secondary, or whether or not you don't. That's the that is the line right there.
But okay, see, this is what I think. I'm sorry to do this, okay. But what I think you're both missing, or what at least you're missing, is that. Whatever this other thing is that one is ceding authority to, if one understands your position exactly as the way it is, there is no other thing. It is yourself that you're ceding the authority to. Do you see what I'm saying?
You know, I do.
So whenever you use the words, like you use the words about other people and stuff, you're really indicating the self, just in disguise, like the ignorant self, or like the self that cannot transform that particular state of affairs. Right.
Well, sure. I totally understand what you're saying. Like I say, nobody can think for you. You can either accept what is given to you, right? And then, in your mind, you believe that that is truth, or you cannot, right? Obviously, it doesn't matter if you follow the right-hand path, the left-hand path, the middle path, whatever. It's still your mind that ultimately decides. It's everybody's mind that ultimately decides for themselves. But it's just a matter of whether you perceive that to be the case or whether you do not. That's the line.
Okay, no, that's awesome. That means, okay, dude, I just hate to do this to you, but that means you're an idealist. You're an idealist. You're actually a philosophical idealist. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're a philosophical idealist. And it's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, run with it, dude. But you are philosophical.
So?
You want to think you're a realist, but you're actually not. You're an idealist, which is cool,
so?
Like I said, but...
I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I don't understand.
Neither do
what
I.
You're getting at.
Naga, nobody asked your opinion. No, but since you offered it, go ahead and give it to us. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I agree with Dan completely, and I'm interested in more on what he has to say about it.
Oh, me too, but you said that you agreed that he was not an idealist.
Well,
that's
I'd like to know exactly where you perceive there to be idealism. I'm missing something here.
Idealism is about the self being primary in the self-world dichotomy.
Well, that's
and all of your theory reduces to self. It reduces to self-empowerment, self-action, everything. So that's the pole that you're collapsing the other pole into. Right?
Yeah, well, how is that idealistic, though? That's just the state of affairs.
That's just the definition of idealism. That's what idealism is philosophically. It's when you collapse the world pole into the self. If you don't analyze it right, it becomes solipsism, which is that there is nothing other than the self, which is obviously pure silliness. And I'm not saying that you're holding to a solipsistic position, but what I'm saying is that your position is idealistic in that the self being the ultimate arbiter means that there can be nothing objective that would in any way conflate the power of the self or defeat the power of the self. I mean, I'm sorry, that's idealism. That's just philosophical. I mean, it might be a weak idealism or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? But it is philosophical idealism. What?
I disagree.
Hey, go ahead.
It's idealism is moving away from reality, like having, you know.
But what
is true,
reality? That's what I'm saying. No, I got to call it right now. What is reality?
Reality
other than
is
what you define it to be. Because, I mean, let's take your position and be consistent with it. I mean, what would reality be other than what you define it to be? No, go ahead. You have the floor. I'm trying to cut you off. Go ahead. No, I'm serious. Go ahead, dude. I'm going to shut up. That's the last I said of anything.
Well, philosophically...
All yours, Dan.
Philosophically, reality is that... we all, you know, live inside of our own heads, that ideas are externally introduced, but ultimately it's our own brain that is the governor of our consciousness. And that's true of everybody. That's not idealism, that's just how it is. It's from there it just boils down to a matter of perception, whether or not you see authority or ideas, you know, coming from the outside as true. Or as ultimate, or whether you choose to see them in a different way, which is what I see as, like, you know, the real way, which is closer to reality, which is that we do decide for ourselves that truth is manufactured within our own minds, whether or not it's accepted ideas, accepted truth given to us from the outside, or whether or not it's manufactured within our own minds. It's ultimately the same thing. It's just two approaches to the same, to the same thing. I don't really see any idealism in that, but maybe I'm missing something here. I don't know.
Is engaging it part of it also, besides just perception, but the accepting of the reins of authority oneself?
Oh, what do you mean? You mean, I don't understand the question.
Beyond just perceiving that one is one's own authority, does it matter in the autodiabolic method to seize those reins and to actively engage to do things in the knowledge of it?
Well, yes, that's the whole point. I think that no matter who you are or no matter how free you think you are, there's still there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of things that are in our subconscious mind, the vast pool of ideas and the memoplex of things that have just been introduced to us that we accept and that we don't question. There's so much that for our conscious mind to tackle it all would literally take a lifetime. So it's a process that never ends. Digging out these chains, snapping them, freeing your mind a little bit at a time.
Interesting. I don't know. I've got to kind of say that Jason King had a solid point here. I'm looking back through any notes I have on idealism and the fact that that you're presenting it as everything originating from the self or being purely subjective, I'm trying to find your position here, man.
It's just self-centeredness, it seems
to
me.
It's not that things originate from the self. That's the problem. They don't. We are subjected to exterior influences our entire life. Bevies of them. They come from everywhere. Things that we're conscious of, things that we're not conscious of. It boils down to a matter of being aware of that. Being aware of that we are, in fact, being, you know, largely controlled by, you know, exterior influences, and being able to, and having the desire to take the reins back. And, guide your own destiny, guide your own life. And it's not really a matter of idealism rather than waking up to the real, you know, waking up and smelling the coffee and doing something about that or doing something with it or not. You know, many people are very comfortable just to live in the cushy paradigm that is provided for them. And that's, you know, that's the essence of the right-hand path right there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. As a matter of fact, it's very similar to my own thinking, but there's no reason to split dictionary terms. I got to say, I'm looking here. We got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I really, before the show goes out, man, I want to say I just respect the hell out of what you're doing out there. You're always quick to call bullshit, and if you ask me, you don't ever do it in an overly dickish manner. You know, it gets what it deserves. You know, it's paid in its own way. So I think that's really cool. I like the ideas you've presented here, and I'd be interested in exchanging with you outside of here more.
Sounds interesting. Sounds like something that could be done. Definitely.
I mean, honestly, yeah, man. I mean, this has been one of the most interesting shows that I myself have participated in.
Well, thank you.
Cool.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment coming from a guy like you.
Well, it's definitely a compliment, man. Now, what's really kind of funny here is that Chicken Wings will now remain quiet for the rest of the show just because he said he would shut up.
Well, no need for that. I enjoy my exchanges with Jason King. He brings a level of scrutiny that I enjoy. You know, I enjoy being on both ends of that, because anything that can make me question my own paradigm or refine it in any level, like you say, I do tend to be confrontational on forum posts in exchanges, but that all boils down to what I'm getting at and what I've been talking about here all along. It's a matter of putting ideas to the fire, scrutinizing them, manifesting yourself as the adversary to cut through the shit to get to the bedrock, if there is bedrock, but at least move closer to what I perceive as the bedrock.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. It's important that you come to your own bedrock, for sure. You know, I think it all definitely hinges on what you ultimately value or think are the most important things in life and how you prioritize them. But regardless, I don't see much error in your method, other than maybe it's just you know, giving an orange the name apple instead. But that's not really important. It's still fruit.
Well, that's why I didn't. I thought about calling it autodiabolism, but then I thought to myself, it's not really anything new. It's not its own ism. It's a way of approaching Satanism. Satanism is what it is. If it seems like there's no new ideas here, they're not. There is no new ideas. It's just a matter of focusing on a certain element of Satanism, which I think is very important and has been largely overlooked or even lost in general in the satanic manifestation, satanic community. I think that it just needs to be focused on more and you know, brought back into the light. That's what I'm trying to do.
Right. Now, one last thing, because it just crossed my mind. Are you for reactive or proactive Satanism?
Proactive. I think that, you know, that things are what they are. Like how many Satanists will focus on Christianity or focus on Islam or whatever and say, well, these people are enslaved. Well, sure they are, but people crave slave religions and slave ideas. They like to be comfortable. Most people don't want to question. They don't want to dig. They don't want to go out of their comfort zone. So I think to attack other ideas like Christianity is completely pointless. Even if you were to tear down Christianity tomorrow, something else would rise in its place to fill that same role, and it's a necessary function. So I think it's better just to work around it or be aware of it and put it to your advantage, use it to your advantage rather than try to attack it. So my opinion, that's a waste of energy.
I absolutely agree with you, and it's actually one of the reasons why I've made myself more present than I have been in the years prior. I certainly think that there's a need for that kind of an understanding to develop. So I appreciate that you're kind of treading the same ground, man.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having me on the show. I see we're almost out of time here, so.
Yeah, about 30 seconds. Next week, I'm not really sure what I'm doing yet, so I guess everybody check soon for an update, or you can come here and check it out. I really appreciate you coming on, Dan, and we'd like to have you again in the future, definitely.
I don't see that being a problem. Maybe we can talk about something, I don't know, more lighthearted or something, I don't know, or not. Yeah. Anyway, I'll be in touch, buddy.
All right. And I'll catch everybody next week.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. Many, many ways. The whole thing about Thanksgiving is to really